I guess it is done because it was done. But why was it done? Yes, why was it done at the Passover? The Old Testament says nobody uses it. Yeah. We can find out why some things are the way they are, huh? They've done four times. At the Passover, I think they surely did. But the whole question of mixing the wine with water is very ancient and was practiced throughout the East. How many of you have read Homer? Do you remember the term proctor in Homer? It's like a mixing bowl for mixing wine and water. That's what the term cradle in our table comes from. It means a mixing bowl. And that was not only done in the church, Old and New Testament, that was done throughout the Near East. And the reason, as Chemnitz explains it, is that the wine there was particularly potent. And they knew the result, as Noah had found out through his sorrow on one occasion, and they thought it was not safer if they diluted it from that. Now, is it no longer wine when it's been diluted? Would there be any water in the wine before you diluted it? Yes, a good bit of it. Thank God. Water is an ingredient of a great many things. For instance, if you ate the right pear, if it's really right, there would be a large amount of it water. And if you squeezed all the water out and had only the pulp, it would be very small indeed. So that doesn't influence it, and it comes out of the secular use of wine in the East. So we don't need to fuss about it. But why does the Catholic Church do it here, when the wine actually isn't as strong here as it, at least they say it isn't? I haven't tried it. Go ahead, Jack. We're giving a practical reason. There is another reason. The Catholic Church is a very traditional church. They want to do what the church has always done. And I think this is the first argument, that the plain text is, if there is a congregation in which there are only one or two priests and they have six masses on a Sunday, and the priest does all the drinking, sometimes during the last mass he just isn't quite as capable as he is. I would gently and as unobtrusively as I could pick it up and lay it back onto the altar, and I would not serve it to anybody. That is what I would do. I would, however, be real careful so it shouldn't happen, but no matter how careful you are. Sooner or later it's going to. Only don't let that happen. It happened to me once, and practically I don't think to any fault of mine. It was here in Illinois, the older pastor was ill, and he was one of these busy bodies that always stuck his fingers into everything, whether he had much business there or not, and I was to administer Holy Communion, and he was to be out of it, and they had a powerful sign up in the close to the altar, and just as we were going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, he thought that we really ought to have some air, otherwise some of my things up there. He turned it on and blew it away from the altar. I don't remember everything I did anymore. We took them up and laid them back. Fortunately, I were enough that we didn't have to use those that had been blown away. But I think it tells us that we ought to be very careful about these things. People are easily caught, and they're not there to catch them. I'll tell you what I have. What are
you saying? To have to be a church, you have to be one.
And a great many other vines. But when the Bible speaks of Kohanim, that is the great thing. And there is no question about it. And it was of the fruit of the vine that he drank with them. And it was not unfermented grape juice. They just had no way of having that unless the Lord would have performed a miracle. And they took it on the occasion. And then what did the poor folks have done after a while? They could have celebrated the Lord's Supper only as long as the grape juice hadn't fermented yet. And how long does it take for it to get moving? Long at all. A very few days and to have at it. So we know that the Lord grew that wine. Yes. I think that is excellent. How would you argue if you wanted to argue that it's being wine like an accident? Oh. All right. Do we call other fermented fruit juices wine? Can you make rhubarb wine? Dandelion? Raspberry wine? Strawberry wine? Orange wine? Any other kind of wine? Now, I don't believe such a thing, because we know that the Lord used grape wine. Now, can you prove absolutely that another kind of wine were not to you? I think I would have a hard time thinking I could prove it absolutely, but why wouldn't you do it? We want our people to be certain that they receive a true Lord's Supper. And if I can't prove to myself that another kind of wine would be okay, how can I prove it to the people in my church? Just think the confusion that would occur. Now, somebody might say, well, maybe only you got wine. If wine, if I mean grape wine, a fairly common thing throughout the world, or is it an uncommon thing? Peculiar to Palestine and the Middle East? No, it's practically all over. I think at the North Pole you'd have to import it. You'd have to import a lot of things there, and there are not that many of them. So I think it can be handled. But otherwise, wine all over the world. It is said that there are a few languages at the table, or a few words that you have to know to come all the way from China through Persia and into the Near East and over into Europe. And with those words, a part of the title, it was Damal, which was the panic, and Tuck, which was the Tuck in which you carried your provision, and Bayan, which was wine, the Greeks called it Rainwood, and the Latins called it Rhenium, but that was all basically the same word to mind differently. They were so similar that you could get fire with them one way or the other. So they had about five words that you had to know to travel through those countries. You got along, you could, at least you got two. So one must have been very good. All right, let's see. We have reviewed pretty well John 3, Matthew. There are maybe questions you have. Yes. Yes. Now, just pop is the question. Formulate it, please, so I won't answer what you might ask me. Is it essential that there be wine in the Lord's Supper? Is that your question? We have said yes. We have not said that you could, some of us have said that you could not use breakthrough. I have not been willing to say that. Is breakthrough of the fruit of the vine? It surely is. And therefore I would not condemn it says at least breakthrough instead of fermented wine. Under one circumstance, I might be willing to use breakthrough. For instance, if I were communing a bunch of alcoholics, they would still be getting essentially the red supper, but I might be dangerous to some of them. They say that your son is 60% to many. I don't know, I can't prove that. I have heard it. Yes, please. Some people can't tolerate wine very well, although they are not alcoholics. They are allergic to alcohol, it seems. Now, under those circumstances, I would be the best person in the world you could do, but you have to explain that to that individual there. That is, you have to explain it to the whole congregation in which Lord Chesterfield will tell you there are a lot of wrong-headed people. You don't have an awful time in your own community. So, we use wine. Next time, we will go very rapidly through the passage in Mark, which is very similar to Matthew, and we will take some more time on Luke, and particularly on the passage in St. Paul. I would like to finish on Monday, if we could, if we can, we will have to take a little more. Now it is time for the bell, and so we will call it good.
It's a real,
Thank you. I'm Thank you.